This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, Arvind here on Open for Business. And I think we can all unanimously agree that meetings are boring, right? Is that wrong to say that meetings are boring? They're pretty boring. There's no point in pretending like they're not. But they're also a real necessity in any workplace. Meetings are like that glue that holds a team or a group or an organization together. And if you don't touch base regularly, everyone starts operating in silos and in complete isolation. So the scenario is that meetings are important, vital parts of any organization, and the problem is that no one really enjoys having them. The solution to this dilemma could be to just change where you have the meeting. According to Julian Yost, the founder of Spacebase, it's usually the habit of having meetings in the same old boardroom, week in and week out, month after month, year after year, that makes meetings so mundane. I caught up with Julian at the Web and Travel Summit in Singapore to talk about the idea of having meetings, events, like professional get-togethers at unique locations as a way of shaking up the routine, because that's exactly what Julian's startup Spacebase does. It's a platform that connects professionals or groups of people looking for a conducive space to host their meetings with owners of those spaces, thereby bridging the gap in the market.
Spacebase started about 4 years ago. It's a marketplace for meeting and workshop locations. It started off as an Airbnb idea kind of thing, where everybody could sign up their space, and then we take care of all the transaction, the logistics behind it, make it bookable, and then companies on the other side book these spaces and thereby get access to more unique spaces outside of the regular standard hotel or their own meeting space, really, to, you know, for every kind of different thing, like get inspired for new ideas, maybe have a better team meeting or team building workshop, these kind of things. Yeah?
So it's mainly for offices or workplaces, organizations that are looking for different or unique spaces to hold their meetings.
Exactly. So it's a marketplace. So you have two different kind of things. So on the one side, you have the people that own the space and they rent it out to people. And on the other hand, you have the booker who wants to get into the space. And the booker can really be anyone, from like a coach that has a coaching session for maybe one or two people, up to S&P 500 company that, you know, maybe has a product presentation or a team building workshop or a strategic innovation meeting, that kind of thing.
So you got the idea for Spacebase because of your own frustrations with meetings or with meeting spaces.
Exactly. So as I said, I started it 4 years ago. Before that, I used to be a consultant. And, you know, when you're in consulting, you either have these cost-cutting projects where it's really, you know, down to the numbers, or you have these strategic vision projects where it's about vision. Back in the day, it was 2020, but now it's probably 2025 or 2030. And we always had these vision, you know, brainstormings and idea sessions. And then out of the pure necessity, we would have it in like this really places, like, a, you know, a small room, no windows, gray carpet. And I was always wondering why it's so hard to kind of, I mean, it's so important for the people that are in the meeting to have the right attitude, to be in the right state of mind. And you know it, when you go to a really nice bar or restaurant, etc., you instantly have a different kind of mindset and you kind of like, you open up. And in business life, this doesn't really happen. People don't really take enough care of creating the right atmosphere for whatever they want to achieve. Huh? And that's why I thought, why is it so difficult to facilitate this? And we found out it's super hard to find good spaces. And then once you find good spaces, it's super hard to book them, because what you still have to do in most places, you send email, phone calls, etc. It's like this whole process that can take days until you actually have everything sorted out of how much catering you want, etc., how much equipment you need. And we kind of took all of this into a very structured marketplace that is the perfect solution for it.
I'm assuming these are like monthly meetings, not so much weekly, because then everyone would have to leave the office for a few hours like every week to go for these meetings somewhere else, right? I mean, isn't that like a hassle?
No, it's actually on hourly to daily use. So it's basically you book it really for one meeting or one workshop. You go in there, everybody gets together. I mean, it's one of the big ideas behind it, to break out of your ordinary work life, out of your ordinary office, so that you can actually really free your mind and kind of like come to new ideas. So it's really on an... Actually, the use case, the average booking is about 6 hours.
Okay, so when you say meeting space, do you mean spaces designed specifically for work meetings, like, you know, like co-working spaces, or like any kind of space that's willing to host, you know, about like a dozen or so people for their meetings?
It's, we have a whole different range of different kind of categories that work well, but the main reasoning behind it is it has to be an exclusive space. So you don't really want to book a table in a restaurant. So it would be maybe a separate room in a restaurant. Or what works really well is nowadays all these co-working spaces, they all have abundant meeting space. So we take this space and kind of put it on the platform. So it's really... the main kind of categories are co-working spaces, restaurants, but then also photo studios, lofts, all these kind of, you know, everybody that's in the creative space, so agencies, these kind of...
Anyone that has a space for events. Okay, okay. You started out with an investor, Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
So you had some funding to help you kickstart the company. But when it comes to like new investors, new backers, how do you convey the message of space-based? Because it's a new concept. So how do you convince them that, you know, people want to have these unique meeting rooms every time that they have a meeting? How do you convince them that people in offices actually want to go out and have their meetings outside?
I mean, it's... I think it depends very much on who you talk to, at what stage of the company, and how much you already have in the books that you can show to them. In the beginning, when we really initially presented it, the whole message was about the vision, the potential, the market size, just making sure that the idea that we're tackling or the problem that we're tackling is $100 million business potentially. And there it's really about showing them, you know, what kind of problems you're solving for companies and how much they're spending already. So it's a lot about the market things. Eventually, once you start progressing, it starts to be much more about your execution and how much you already achieved and how you achieve it. So it's when we nowadays talk to investors, it's more about very specific projects, very specific ideas that we have in mind, where we really have to already show them initial unit economics, for example, or the first KPIs, the cohorts, these kind of really deep down business numbers, where they can see how our execution works. Yeah?
So you saw a gap in the way the you know, space providers couldn't connect with clients, and you developed Spacebase to bridge the two parties. So, you know, keeping that model in mind, how does Spacebase make money from this arrangement?
Very bluntly, it's a commission-based model. So for any transaction that we facilitate, we get a commission. That can be in the range of 10 to 20%, depending on the provider and depending on the city and all this kind of dimensions. So that's a very easy case. I think why we decided for the commission is because it's something that ultimately aligns our interest to the interest of the space providers. So we didn't want to just charge a subscription fee, which you have on a lot of marketplaces where you have a sign-up fee or that kind of stuff, because that is just not aligned in the sense of the motivation behind it. So our prime motivation is to get more bookings happening, to get more liquidity on the market or on the marketplace, and that's to the benefit of all the space providers. That's why we decided for it.
Speaking of cities, you're based out of Berlin. What's the startup culture like in Berlin?
It's very big. I mean, Berlin has a lot of history, and in particular within Germany, in the past had a very slow economy. So there's quite little jobs, quite high unemployment for Germany. And I would say in the end of 90s, 2000s, Berlin really, you know, found their place in the startup ecosystem. So you have a lot of large companies that have started in that time, like, for example, Zalando or Delivery Hero or Rocket Internet, that have brought a lot of attention to the startup economy in Berlin. And based on these, you know, initial movers in the city, a lot of different other startups kind of started to appear, and they are putting up a lot of funding into the ecosystem as well. So you have quite a good running system, and it's, I think, I'm not sure whether it passed London right now. I think Berlin, Paris, and London are the top three startup ecosystems in Europe. So it's a good place to be in. What I particularly like about Berlin is that all these business models that initially were founded are very sales or marketing heavy models. So it's many marketplaces. So you have a lot of talent around these kind of dimensions in the city that you can then easily hire. And on top of that, it attracts a lot of young people from all over Europe. It's kind of like the high place to be, in particular in the early 20s. So you have a lot of really good talent that you can approach, and then you can get into your company. And that's what makes it so attractive for us as a company.
Now, with more and more people getting into remote working situations, you might think that the demand for physical spaces might take a hit, right? I asked Julian the same question, and he'll answer after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on Open for Business, and joining us this morning is Julian Yoss, the founder of Spacebase, which is a platform that connects professionals looking for unique, conducive spaces with the owners of said spaces. How many countries do you operate in?
I think it's about 20 countries. It's 50 different destinations. So we always look at individual cities or areas as destinations.
And how many are you planning to operate in like, say, the next 2 years?
We're trying to double the presence year over year, at least. And the core areas that we're looking at is in Europe, go into, as I said, we're more looking at destinations in the sense of cities. So we're looking to get into the tier 2, tier 3 cities in the European, central European countries. And then at the same time, we're opening up the US, where we started already with New York and San Francisco or California. And we're now kind of trying to expand it to Austin, Washington, etc.
What's stopping you? Like, are there challenges or like certain things you have to overcome first before you can, you know, like service new countries?
It's really hard to generalize it, because obviously you're talking about a whole different set of cities. But generally, what is the most important thing for us, in particular for the first 2 or 3, 4 weeks that we look at a city, is to really understand what demand and supply is. So what kind of spaces are our clients looking for and what exists in the city? And really trying to get an understanding of who will be the best performer in that city. Because essentially, our product portfolio that we have is the catalog. So, and if you have a shitty catalog, nobody will come to you to buy. And then if you have nobody coming to you to buy, you won't get any more spaces on board. So it's kind of like you really want to understand where can you make this matchmaking happening and what is working.
What has the response to Spacebase been like so far?
It's very good. It's been growing really well over the last years. We had a little bit of a rocky path in the beginning where we didn't really know exactly what we were. That was the first year, but ever since we did the pivot and really found our model, it's been growing steadily.
Do you see any trends, like you know, are there any trends that you're seeing that you didn't expect to see, you know, like booking trends that took you by surprise?
So I was not from the industry. So when I got into the industry, I wasn't 100% aware of how the industry worked. I came from a consumer mindset, so I basically knew how I would like to book a space, and that's what we then put in place in our marketplace. So it's a live booking where you can easily configure everything, and then once you configure anything, you have the price already there, the availability, etc. So it's kind of like an e-commerce shopping that you know from hotel. What I was really surprised about is how the traditional way of doing business, which is you write an email, then you get a quote, then you refine the quote, then maybe you refine the quote again, etc. How low the conversion rate is on this. And we basically now have in place both kind of checkout processes, the direct booking, the live booking, and the quoting. And the live booking performs 8 times better than the quoting. And I'm just really surprised why nobody in the market actually accepts this for the general practice yet. We're still working on it.
Okay, what are some of the challenges you're facing now with Spacebase?
So we got to the stage where, at least in Europe, we have the biggest portfolio of spaces. We have the best availability, the best platform. We are really now in an execution kind of phase where it's really about understanding all these different needs of companies. We're now in particular talking, we're basically integrating way deeper into our clients' businesses and processes. So think about a large corporate, for example, Apple, which is one of our key clients, they don't simply want to book a room, but they want to book a room exactly on their terms. So you kind of like try to integrate into their intranet, into their procurement processes, into their, compliance processes. And that's where we're trying to, where it's really the details that make a good or bad product. So that's where the biggest challenges are, to integrate into all of these different providers and bookers, basically.
Okay, so just different skins for different platforms.
Exactly. Essentially, in the end, we're still trying to standardize the whole market and to really give the market a tool that facilitates better matchmaking. But what we do is we, from our platform, we carve out kind of white labels that we specifically serve to these clients. So, for example, a case of a large corporate, they would get their own kind of booking platform that works slightly different and may have a little bit of an adjustment. May it be layout or sign-up processes or billing processes. But in the end, we in the back end kind of facilitate everything. So the transaction in itself is still standardized, you know, because we don't want to go back to the old world where everybody can kind of configure their own transaction and make it less transactional.
Got it. Right. So, future-proofing. You deal with physical space in an area that's becoming digital very quickly. Offices are changing, work culture is changing, but you must have some kind of future-proofing in mind with space-based, right? I mean, meaning that you believe even if offices change in the next, I don't know, like 10 years, people will still want to meet up in physical spaces to do their, you know, their professional work?
I think there's no doubt that we will still need physical space. We may not need it for all the activities that we're currently doing. So, for example, I think the only thing why an office exists or why companies have offices is to facilitate the meeting between their employees, customers, suppliers, etc., to facilitate these face-to-face meetings. I think that is still the primary case of why we actually have real estate. I think if I look at where people are saving space, it's more, for example, carving out space for desks where people just work by itself, because that you can facilitate much more easily with flex desk or maybe even work at home, that kind of things. But the meeting part where people do business face to face is still very essential. So I think that is actually the last thing that you want to take out of the equation. And if I look at this, this means we're just giving them a much more flexible way of getting to that real estate. You know, it's not. So, for example, think about the case. Maybe you have a company that is 100% remote work. So you have people all over the place in a city. But then essentially you still need a space where they can meet every once in a while to maybe discuss quarterly targets or weekly budgets, that kind of thing, or weekly project plans. And for that, we're perfectly equipped. We are the perfect partner because we have the space that you can just rent for 2 hours and then you get rid of it. So you don't have it in your P&L statement, but just for a very short period.
Okay, so you're saying that the less people depend on having their own workspace, then the more they will work remotely, and it is better for space-based.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. Let's talk about expansion. What's next for space-based?
Essentially, along the lines of what we're saying, so we have built we have the product market fit. It's now about execution, so it means going into more territories, going into a deeper understanding of the portfolio. And at the same time, doing more of these perfect integrations with the corporates. So you're kind of like trying to build solutions for both sides at the same time. And what this means is essentially the matchmaking is happening on your product. So you facilitate this with creating a better product in terms of extending the product features for more cases, make it more simpler. So those are kind of the three areas. More white-labeled skins, as we say. More destinations, and then improve the product.
Have you thought about competition or copycat apps? You know, like if someone decides to use your model for their own startup or their own service?
Yes, there is a lot of... It's a very easy to understand business model. I think it's a very easy to understand need. There's competition in the US. There's competition in Europe. We have a lot of different competitions in each of our destinations. So in each of our destinations, we have the competition of event planners or agencies that are running the show there for a long time. You have hotels, which is a hotel conferencing space or meeting space, which is a big competition. What you're creating to defend against these is the liquidity that you have on a market. The marketplaces only work as long as you have demand and supply that are matching. And this is what you can't easily replicate. It's not a plug and play. You immediately have the demand. And this is why I feel confident that we're in a good space, because we found a good matchmaking, and we have found our channels that we can defend against new incumbents.
Find out more about Spacebase at spacebase.com. And if you'd like to listen to this interview again, just head on over to the BFM app, available for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Or you can check us out on Spotify. We are there as well. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj with Julian Yost, founder of Spacebase, on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.